كده بديت.
Super. Dear friends of love for volleyball, amor por el voleibol, I'm pleased and honored to talk today with an Olympic champion with a fantastic history in volleyball, World League champion, a member of the Volleyball Hall of Fame. I mean, Peter Blanje from the Netherlands. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine. Thanks, Alfredo. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Fantastic. And Peter, please tell me, first of all, when did you start playing volleyball and why did you choose volleyball as your sport?
Ooh, well, I will give you the brief explanation. I'm the youngest of a family with only tall people. My brother is 10 years older and my sister 5 years older. And they were both very successful, in my brother in volleyball and my sister in basketball.
Hey.
So when I was young, I performed both sports. But actually, I chose volleyball due to the fact that I had to run so much in basketball, as being a tall player and not the fastest on the court. So out of laziness, I chose volleyball. And of course, I was more close to my brother at that time because he was my big brother, you know. So what it was more due to coincidence that I started to play volleyball, and it became serious when I was about 14, 15 years old. Before that, I was, of course, already into the volleyball environment and participating in a club close to The Hague in the Netherlands, Voorburg, the city where I'm born. And it, well, step by step, I made some progress. And at age 17, 18 years old, I was getting into, well, serious levels. And but actually, it took a while before I was selected in the national team. I think I was 21 or 22.
Okay.
I've never been selected in junior teams due to the fact that I was tall. And at that time, I was not selected as a setter, but I like to spike. You were playing with two setters on the court. So when I was front row, I was spiking. And back row, of course, you were a setter. But it were different times and different ages in volleyball. So I was, well, on the court as a middle blocker, outside hitter, all various roles I've played in. But I was never a very serious player till the moment that we start to play with only one setter. And my hands were obviously always good. So then, step by step, I made some progress. And well, I was one of the first very tall setters in the late 80s. So well, it was a huge change in volleyball,
absolutely.
And therefore it took also some time, I think, for me to get my spot on the court.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I wanted to ask you now, because as you told us, you were, I think the first setter over 2 meter high, in a time where the setter mostly were the shortest guy on the court. So why do you think was the idea from your coach, or I don't know from who, to put you on as a setter? Because the Dutch team always has very tall players, but you were a middle blocker, you were an outside hitter. Why did you think they choose you to be a tall setter?
Yeah, well, I remember the time that I was playing in one of the strongest clubs in the Netherlands, Starlift in Voorburg, in my hometown. And actually, we were with three setters. I was the substitute, and we were playing in the 2-4 system, so with two setters on the court. And in 1 year, both setters left. One very good setter, maybe you know him, Jan Klardij. He was the first player out of the Netherlands that started to perform in Italy.
Yes.
And the other one was a Belgium guy, Chef Mol, and he retired.
Yeah.
So actually, I was the only setter left on that club.
Okay.
So we were forced to play in a 1-5 system. And well, it was a kind of a surprise that it ended up very well. And well, I managed also to play as a setter in the 1-5 system. Actually, I had to I had to control myself because I was not on the scoring roster in the beginning. So I started also with a lot of second touch handovers over the net directly when I was front row. And it really took some time for me also mentally to get in control of the game when just only setting. Because actually I started to perform volleyball because I like to spike. And I ended up without any spike at all. So, well, it was kind of a change.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And if I'm not wrong, in the national team of the Netherlands today, you have one of the best outside hitter. I think he started as a setter, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, yeah, Nimir, you mean. Nimir exactly. Abdelaziz. Well, Nimir is a phenomenon because he is tall as I am, but yes, he is very much more athletic skilled than I was, actually. Huh? He's a good jumper. He has an incredible jump serve. And actually, he started as a spiker, but then he was changed because he also had some good hands as a setter. But after 3-4 years, I think, he was also setting in the national team. Well, he got the possibility to go to France, but as a spiker, because he always liked to spike. And, we have to be honest.
He's a fantastic spiker.
He's one of the best in his role as an opposite spiker. Yes. I think that he made the right decision. He didn't perform 1 year in the national team at that time, but after a new coach came, well, he has his spot on the national team. And of course, he is one of the most scoring international opposite players.
Yes.
And he's a phenomenon to watch because he's also a very skillful player, like Ron Zwerver was in his young years. You have players on the court that are really a privilege to see them in action. And yes. Nimir is one of them.
Yes.
So, but when he started as a setter, Alfredo, he was also invited. Yeah, we have a new Peter Blanger because he's tall and he has good hands, etc., etc. But I think that Nimir made the right decision to take another position.
Fantastic. And tell me, Peter, when you were starting as a setter, did you have some vision or did you thought, okay, volleyball maybe could be your life sport, or it was day by day that you were evolving, getting better, or somebody told you, okay, volleyball will be your life,
Actually, I started as a young player. I was, of course, ambitious. And on that age, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, you like to spike. You like to play matches. Of course, I was eager to win. And this competitiveness I always had in my character. But I never thought about being a professional player, of course. Actually, I was not that skillful at young age. Never selected in national teams, junior level. Of course, I was very privileged and proud when I was elected to participate in the national team and being invited in the selection. But even there, in the first 2 years, we had Ari Selinger as head coach in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I came on the first practice and we had to introduce ourselves. So I introduced myself. I'm Peter Blanger. I'm a setter. And he was watching me, shaking his head, and he said, impossible, middle blocker. So for the first 2 years in the national team, I was, I think, about the fifth or the sixth middle blocker. And when we were playing six against six, I was the head of the ball collecting squad while the others were playing. But I like being in the national team, and I'm not a quitter that soon. So I took my time, and of course I made huge progress because we started to train much more serious than we did before, and step by step I became better. But actually, I was put it into the selection and in the first squad out of a surprise. Because the first setter, Avital Selinger, he had hay fever. And with the second setter, it didn't work out that well. So I was well as a third option. I was put it into the match in a friendly game versus Sweden, and well, out of a surprise, it matched up fairly well. Actually, with Henk-Jan Held, with Ron Zwerver, with Edwin Benne, with all the younger players at that time. And actually, I think also for Ari Selinger, it was a surprise that it worked out that well. Mm-hmm. It was more like an experience than a very serious option, till we found out that the squad was playing very fluidly.
Yes, I remember an article in a German magazine, the Deutsche Volleyball Zeitschrift, in this time when your team began to show that you were very good players, and you have a mix from experienced players like Marco Brouwers, Rob Graber, Jan Postuma, and the young players, as you mm-hmm. told, Zwerver, Henk-Jan Held, Bas van der Hoorn, he came later, but mm-hmm. it was a team that showed not only of the good quality of the game, but also of the high of all your players. So I wanted to ask you, in this time, do you have some players that you admire or not? Because in my time in the 80s in Chile, for example, we looked over the mountains and we watched the Argentinian players, the Brazilian, and we wanted to play like Rachman, like Quiroga. Do you have some players or maybe not? And you were focused on your game and with your players.
Yeah. Well, of course, when you're young, you have your big examples. Yeah. Right? And I remember the 86 World Championships in France, where we first saw the US team with Karski Rai, Steve Timmons playing exceptionally well. Of course, in 88, my first Olympics, we met also the South American volleyball players. Of course, also Argentina with Raul Quiroga, Hugo Conte, Waldo Cantor. Yes. Very competitive players, Martinez, Daniel Castellani, also with their Grinta through the net, you know, very competitive squad to play against. And also we had some serious battles at that time. Yes. And also the Brazilians, of course, with Bebeto as a head coach, but with Renan Dalzotto. With Carlão, with all the big stars from Mauricio Lima. Mm. So, well, of course, I had my examples, but actually, with who could I compare myself? Because I was the first very tall setter. and I watched the set. I watched Jeff Stork. I watched Alain Fabiani, Kim Mo-Chul, but they were half my size. So what could I do? So, it's more like a joke, you know, but when you're getting better and better, I think that the best is to stop with having your examples. You have your examples growing to a certain level. And also, of course, in different sports, you watch these elite athletes in various sports. But I really found my own way and my own strategy, how to become better and how to develop myself. And at the end, I was on the court out of a surprise, mm-hmm. and it ended up fairly well. But it was a long road, and even when I left to Italy and left the national team, because we also faced some problems, and there was some internal fights, as you know. But having these different experience and playing with different players on the court, and also having the privilege of having Bebeto as a coach in Parma and mm-hmm. play together with Andrea Gianni, Marco Bracci, you know, all the big stars also from Italy at that time. Mm-hmm. There we really start to make progress with Renan and Carlão in the same club team in Parma. And Bebeto pushing me to play faster and faster and faster and faster all the time, and jumping into the serve receptions and setting on high level, with therefore for the opponent less time to get your blocking position and your defense. Well, at the end we were getting an attack which was almost unstoppable.
Absolutely.
But it all came out very well, let's say, as a as a type of play. It was more like an experience, how we developed the game, than that we first had already a theory or a real game plan. Fantastic. We were also in the national team. We had some practices where we really were surprised out of the speed that we could develop on the court, the ball speed, where the limits were. Yeah. Later on, you managed also Bas van der Goor and Guido Geurtsen was also one of the youngest guys with a lot of speed in his play and a lot of power in his play. It gave us another level of ball speed and ball handling and taking risks in very fast sets to the outside. And also with the pipe attack and back row attack, we were involving five attackers in most of our rotations. Mm-hmm. It was all an experience.
Yes.
And we took out the good working and the very effective type of plays. Mm-hmm. And actually, we stopped with all these combinations like the turning around and from the left to the outside and from the inside to the outside, because it was easier to stop for the opponent with tactical serving out of the straightforward attack on high ball speed velocity, where at the end we were getting into Olympic medal range. So nobody told us how to play, but it was more like an experience and a development of the play which took us to these levels.
What you're telling me is so interesting. And you have answered many questions that I wanted to do.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, but
no, it's fantastic that you're speaking and telling about your experience, because for me that's important that my interviewer speak freely about experience his volleyball life, because it's so interesting. Because what you tell me, especially about the Dutch team that you played with, that what I admire from your play, from your game, what exactly what you're telling me, the fast, the power, the intelligence to play. Because in the 80s, in the 70s, you could watch the Japanese style, the school of volleyball, the Russian type of volleyball. Later came the American with his system with two receivers, the Brazilian, and sometimes you could watch the Dutch team play with very tall players, but in a very fast way of playing that we thought it's impossible tall players to make this attack combination, to defend so well, to have a so smart block system. So for me it's very interesting what you're saying about the experience, to experience new things, to experience with you as a setter, and have absolutely with so great teammates as we were speaking. So I wanted to ask you, please, Peter, about your Olympic experience, because mm-hmm. played in Seoul in 1988, later you played in Barcelona, where you played the final against this crazy Brazilian team, that played, I think, very similar as your team, because you have always five attackers, mm-hmm. and later obviously the Golden Atlanta. So I wanted to. I said, entonces, this is Spanish.
Uh-huh.
mixed languages. So I wanted to ask you, please, how was your Olympic experience to get from Seoul to Atlanta? How was this experience, this journey for you and your teammates?
Yeah. Well, I told you before, in Seoul, the U.S. team became Olympic champion. Yes. So they were the big examples. Mm-hmm. And I still remember one of our critical matches in the preliminary rounds versus Argentina.
Yes.
Actually, our first match was versus France, the good France team with Alain Fabiani, yeah. with Laurent Tilly, Philippe Blain, you know yeah. all these strong players, Encapé, the father of famous Encapé, yes. of today. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that we beat them.
Yeah,
and actually in the first opening match, okay, playing France and already a big surprise. Mm-hmm. It opened also a different level for us, where we could think about getting into medal range already. We were one of the strongest team we had beaten. We lost versus the US in the pool 3-1. So then the critical match for us was the match against Argentina. And I remember that the day before, we spoke about different goals and aims for that Olympics, because beating Argentina, it was an access to the semifinals. One day later and 1 hour later during that match, we lost 3-0. So that experience, we found out, and for me, it was obvious, never think about the result without thinking about how to play ball by ball, step by step, set by set. And never think about already being into the semi-final without finishing the preliminary round. So a big message at that time. So thank you to all the Argentinian guys. Argentina ended up with the bronze medal, which was for them a very excellent result, which they did again nowadays. Yes. So that was the biggest experience that I faced. And of course, we saw the final, the US team versus the Soviet Union at that time. Was incredible to watch from very close. Then the 92 Olympics, you had, of course, the Brazilian team, you had the Cubans, Italy, of course, Russia was always there, Brazil in the final. I was injured in the quarterfinal match. It was the first time also after the preliminaries that there was a quarterfinal involved.
Yes, absolutely. I saw
it wasn't the injury. Yeah, it was. Yeah. You had the change of the rules, the rally point system in the fifth set versus Italy in the quarterfinals. The fifth set ended at 17, so 16-16, and Italy was serving in the fifth in the tiebreak. And we were lucky to score the final point, so access into the semi-final. Well, I messed up my Achilles tendon, so I wasn't able to play anymore. But for us, it was also a surprise that we were at that time into medal range. It was a very difficult period of the Dutch national team due to the different views and, of course, also the dissidents that left already to Italy. I was one of them, together with Postuma and Zootsma and Rabert. We were asked back close to or very close to the, I think in May, 2 weeks before the qualification tournament of the Olympic Games in Barcelona. But actually, we faced a very difficult time. We were qualified, and it was a huge surprise that we ended into the final. I remember that after the semi-final, we were so happy and so emotional that actually it wasn't impossible for us to get to that next level again two days later in the final versus Brazil. So the biggest lesson for all of us, besides, of course, the disappointment that I couldn't perform in the final stage of the tournament, that you need to be emotional ready to play the final at the end.
Yes, yes.
And I think that was the most, the biggest lesson also out of Barcelona that we took with us versus Atlanta. Yes. Of course, there was the big change in the system in the Netherlands that Joop Albeda came in as a head coach.
Yes,
we were all playing in foreign teams, most of us in Italy, many of us in the best club teams in the world at that time. So Ron Zwerver was in Treviso, Bas van der Goor was in Modena, I was playing in Parma, etc., etc., and also in Treviso later on. So we were playing on a very high level and playing many, many, many finals with a lot of pressure, with very good teammates and opponents. So it didn't matter anymore if we were playing for 10,000 people or 15,000 people in Brazil or in the US or wherever in the world. It was common business.
Yes.
And we were developing the play. And our basic level was so high at that time that we knew, you know, in volleyball, Alfredo, it's not about a hard spike or a hard serve. It's about avoiding errors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the team with the least errors, 99 out of 100 matches, that team will win. So stability in your play and also mental stability in your play is, it's the key element. So in Barcelona, I remember that after the semifinal versus Russia, I think our best match on that in that Olympic Games, we destroyed them 3-0 and they had no chance or whatsoever. And they were playing with Dinaikin, the very strong players and the very tall players. Yes.
They were a European champion in 91 in Berlin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and a very good team, and also with players out of 2m17, Dinaikin, Kazakov. Yes. I still remember all these names because they were the middle blockers on the other side. So how could we face them? And we started to play with first tempos close to my head or further out just to avoid these very tall players in the middle. And we let them move, you know, was another level of how to destroy the opponent. But I remember after the semi-final match, we won 3-0. Of course, we were happy, but we were more like a machine. We were calm. We were all together. We spoke to each other. Okay, we know where we are here for. We still have one match ahead of us. And we were ready to play the final versus Italy at that time.
Yes.
Well, you know how it ended up. We had to face match point. Italy had match point. We were lucky at the end and we made the right choices in the most difficult moments of the game. It was always a fight in the finals versus Italy. I was playing as an opponent to my teammates where I was competing with during winter. It was an exceptional time. And I have to still today, it's now 26 years later. We were lucky with a one ball difference of winning the Olympic final. The differences between us was actually were so close that it could end up also with a different result, or that Italy was the winning gold medal team. I think we were lucky. And I always said to my Italian teammates, well, we lost so many times to you guys. Finally, you gave us one match. Thank you for it. It was close.
For volleyball players, Olympics, I think it's the highlight of our sport. Different, for example, for football or soccer, where the world champion is the most important championship but volleyball, the Olympics is the peak of our career.
Of course. Yeah.
As you're saying, the team that makes the most error loses. And in this final, exactly the Italian team make a mistake, a bad set. And Andrea Gianni could not put the ball exactly between the antenna. So it was it was one of the most beautiful finals in volleyball. And we can watch this over and over again via YouTube, and it's incredible. And I thought one thing, it's my opinion. In the Olympics in Barcelona, you could watch the crowd were almost yellow. Were always but in Atlanta we saw many more orange t-shirts. So I thought maybe the ambient was perfect. The mood were perfect for you to win the Olympics. And as you're saying, it's also very interesting about the mental strength in the teams. For example, I remember absolutely the American team with Kira Lee, Craig Bagg, Timmons, and they were not the tallest team in the championship, but they were always the mentally strongest team. They won against Argentina, the Russian team with Savin, Zaitsev, so legendary teams, but they were always so strong mentally. And what you're saying about your team, we could see this. We could see you again fighting against the best team. You were shouting, you were screaming, you were like in a like a Latin team, because you were so a hot blooded player. So it was fantastic to watch your team play and watch you to play as a fantastic setter. And exactly what you are telling me, I can remember some of the last points of this finals. You're setting a fastball to Bas van der Hoorn, and he's mm-hmm. putting down an impossible setting down the contrary court. So for me, it was a impressive final, and I'm sure that for you, your teammates, and from the Dutch crowd, from the publicum, it was a to never to forget. So I wanted to ask you now about your experience. You told me some before about your experience in Italy, because as you tell me, in this final you played against all your teammates from the clubs. But what how was it for you personally to play in one of the best, I think, leagues in the world, and could play so many years and have this mixture of different styles of volleyball, with the Brazilian, with the Russian, with the I don't know, mm-hmm. with the Americans. How was it for you to be part of this history of volleyball?
Yeah, well, of course, Italy is like the Valhalla to play in. Eh? It's the NBA for volleyball.
Yes.
I always compare it with NBAs like that. Mm-hmm. Many good teams, a lot of rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
Big crowds, like the Mediterranean, let's say Latin American emotions. I've seen several fights in the crowd or the public or with the police around. Casino, you know. So it was a fantastic period in life to be part of. Of course, also Italy to live in, good food, lot of history, beautiful country, nice weather. It's fantastic. But of course, the Italian mentality in sport is also okay. They always have long-term policy. But that long-term policy ends at the next match when you lose. So these emotions... And also now, while I'm talking to you, Alfredo, I start to learn also to talk with my hands. You cannot see it, but I'm moving with my hands.
Yes, you're talking in Italian.
That's Italian, yeah.
Yes.
So also in the teams where I was playing with, we always had a very warm relationship with each other. We were young, we were ambitious. Also our girlfriends, they matched up very well. So all these things together helped us and helped me to become a better person or a more developed person. And just to be happy with the life that you're that you have and the possibilities that are given to you to play in a beautiful country like Italy. And to also make good money out of it, because at that time it was the first time when I went to Italy that I start to earn serious money. I never expected it. And maybe that was also my big advantage, because it was never my goal or my aim to become one of the best players in the world or to get a professional life. I loved the game when I started it. And also my final match in the national team, which was in the Olympics in Sydney. It was not the best result because we lost in the quarterfinals to former Yugoslavia. Also 17-15 in the fifth, and Yugoslavia took the Olympic title. So there, one ball difference, but on the wrong side. What's there more to complain, you know? I still have today contact with my former teammates also from Italy, abroad. Last summer, there was the Women's World Championships in the Netherlands, and I met the daughter of Carlau. She was a journalist out of Brazil. And I've seen her running into the gym when she was a youngster. She was 3 or 4 years old. I've seen the kids of Laurent Tilly, the big players now in the French national team or in the NBA. Well, they were running into the gym as Batman and Tarzan, as small kids. You know, these memories, especially when you are over 50. It's a big privilege to have a life like that. And still out of today, I still work into sports. I close my curtain because it's very sunny here. It's cold, but it's sunny. It's like a real winter day in the Netherlands. Yeah, so a little bit freezing weather, but a lot of sun. But, well, it was a fantastic period in Italy. Of course, we also faced difficulties, especially in the mid 90s. It was a difficult period in Italy. You had the operation Mani Puliti, so clean hands, out of the to avoid and to ban all the corruption into the political system. So there were lots of financial problems at the time in Italy, which was also felt by the club teams.
Okay.
So Maxicono Parma, the sponsor, left. The owner faced charges, etc. So also difficult periods we faced in Italy, which gives you also other experiences, to stay calm, to do your job, to sometimes use also legal advice when necessary, which helped me also to become a more complete person or a more experienced person, and always stay a professional.
Yeah.
Well, after the Atlanta games, I also got the possibility to play for Sisley Treviso, the team of Benetton. It was a sub-label of Benetton, the Sisley clothing brand. There I played with Gardini and with Bernardi and Samuele Papi. We had Dimitri Fomin as the opposite. Well, what's... with Pasquale Gravina, which I played 7 years altogether, 5 in Parma and 2 in Treviso. Well, then your life as a setter becomes much more easy if you have these phenomenal spikers and attackers close to you. And we were able to get even more speed in the game. And, well, that's a funny thing also that... I remember because Dimitri Fomin, he faced many times difficulties of spiking fast sets. And he said, "Well, Peter, I'm not capable of spiking your sets, and they're too fast, etc., etc." And I said to Dima, I said, "Well, Dima, then you have a problem because I cannot set high balls." Well. And it was also so easy to fix the problem. I said to him, "Well, make your first step approach already before the set leaves my hands."
Yes.
And we start from there. And from that point, well, he could set even sets of 130K per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of the most effective opposite players in these seasons in Italy. So sometimes... small changes in your approach, and then a new level and a new experience will come to you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to talk with you. For me, it's a privilege to hear your experience, your stories about volleyball, and the experience with those fantastic teammates, with those fantastic teams. And I'm sure that all the followers of my fan pages will love it too, because there were so great volleyball involved in this. What you're telling me. And I feel your passion about this. So for me, it's a great thing to do, and have the now with technology the opportunity to make it via this Zoom technology. So I wanted to ask you now, Peter, about about when did you start thinking to retire as an active player, and maybe think to continue in volleyball, maybe as a trainer? I don't know, how was what was the story for you, and how was this evolution for you?
Yeah, well, I think that after the Atlanta Olympics 96, the years after, there were like bonus years. I was already over 30. You know that you won't play for your entire life.
Yes.
I still enjoyed playing, and that gave me a lot of extra bonus years on the court. Of course, I had the privilege to play in Treviso with good players, so that made it up also much more easy to come to continue. I did also the 2000 Olympics at age 35 because I wanted to defend the Olympic title. And I thought also, well, if it can happen once, you should be close. Maybe it happens twice. And we were close. Didn't have a gold medal team. But of course, I still think that we missed bronze there due to the fact that we had the possibilities to beat Serbia at the time. And after that, I retired. I had 500 international matches. And actually, the last match versus Brazil in Sydney was my 500th. So I thought, well, that's a nice amount. If it will be 525, there's no difference. 500 is okay. So I stopped. I quit. I got into a normal daily routine in a professional job in chemistry,
okay,
because I wanted to get out of the sport environment. But actually, after a year, 1.5 years. The things that I missed the most, the pressure, the tension, the gym, the locker room, all the treasure talk in the locker rooms, being among the guys, I missed the most. So I got the opportunity to become a club coach in Rotterdam, okay, which I did. And later on, because we were also very successful, even in Europe, with the club team, I had the privilege to become the head coach of the Dutch national team for several years.
Okay.
And so I had a professional coaching career for almost 10 years. Unfortunately, we didn't qualify for the London Olympics 2012. And therefore, I chose to resign as a head coach. And I had the possibility to go to Italy again as a coach, also in Treviso and some other different clubs. But I chose to stay in the Netherlands due to family reasons, etc. And with young children, it's much more easy to have a stable life with just one house and one home instead of traveling all around the world. And I got very different jobs into the sports science. I worked for the Dutch Football Federation. I was into sports science at the National Training Center here in the Netherlands, out of nutrition and all kinds of technological and wearables, etc. So I learned a lot also in that period. I also prepared the national program for the Dutch Skateboard Federation, because skateboarding became an Olympic sport in Tokyo. So, I've seen very different sports, and now I'm the responsible of the sport policy in the city of Rotterdam. So I'm still many times next week in the gym that you have behind you, Alfredo. We have one of our biggest international tennis tournaments with all the big stars out of the world for another week. Last year, we had the World Championships volleyball in the same venue. We will have World Championships in handball and in gymnastics in the upcoming years, and short track World Championships. So I'm involved in all kinds of various sports.
It's impressive.
The national team program of the Netherlands men's volleyball team during summer is located in the gym where our offices are.
Yeah.
So I'm still very close to volleyball. I've a lot of contact also with my former coaches, with Joop Albeda and also Toon Gerbrands, the coach followed Joop Albeda after the Atlanta Olympics. So, well, I'm privileged. I'm still healthy. I'm a lot older, as you can see, but I'm still I'm still the same Peter.
Peter, exactly.
And, yeah. And I have fun in life, and I enjoy being into the sport environment. And well, there's not much to complain. Let's keep it that way.
As I told you before, I'm privileged and honored to talk with you and hear your story. It's amazing. And I wanted to ask you now about I've heard that you're part of a group named De Volaren, where Peter Murray and many historic Dutch volleyball players are. And please tell me about this group, because as you know, I love volleyball history. I love to interview players from the 50s, 70s, and also players from today. But I what my goal is that many players from today, young players, have the opportunity to watch their historical players. Because I remember when I interviewed, I don't know if it's what was Giovanni Gavio or Negrão from Brazil, they're trainers today, and they showed their young players a video from Barcelona, and the young players said to them, "You played in this final. It's amazing." So I want to in a humble way to contribute for the history and for the young players to watch that. Like you, there are many players that plays the best volleyball in the world, that won Olympic medals, and I think it's very important. So I am Peter Murphy told me about this De Volaren group, and I thought it's an amazing thing that you're doing. Please tell me a little more about this group.
Yeah. Well, I think about maybe already 10 years ago, with some older people close to volleyball, and the wife of Peter Murphy was one of them, Fransje. Well, we had the plan to start with a nice former international players organization, and step by step it grew.
Yes.
And we had to find the right name. So, volleyball, volare out of Italy. It's like being off the ground and floating through the air. So we came up with the name Volaren, which is into volleyball and people flying and jumping in the sky. So during many events, volleyball events in the Netherlands, we are always there with the group which are associated with the Volaren. And we have big fun, you know, because all these old stories and famous stories, they become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You see, people like to come. We're still very close to volleyball. Also, the Dutch Volleyball Federation supports us, so we get access to these matches, and we get some budgets. We just buy tickets, but well, we get the budget out of the federation. So actually it's for free. And of course, we have many volleyball events in the Netherlands: beach volleyball, indoor volleyball, men, women, Olympic qualification tournaments internationally. We have the VNL, the Volleyball Nations League, every year. So, we are also privileged to have these events where we can also have the right contribution of the former international players. And of course, we also like to introduce the younger players or the newly stopped or retired international players to join the group and to adore all the privileges that volleyball gave us and to give it to the next generation, and maybe also to help and to support with the today generation to become a better person or a more developed player, or to give them the same possibilities that we had when we were young. So, but most of all, we just have a great time together. We meet each other again, and we have some great stories out of history. And they always try to make a fool out of me. I don't know what happened many years ago, but I'm still the one to blame for my former teammates about my setting decisions and that I had to set that ball to another person and all the stupid things that I did. So it's real fun, you know. And you know, when you're on the court, there are also many battles, there are also periods that you don't get along that well with each other. But at the end, when the career is finished and you become older, you only see the good things.
Yes.
It's and true. That helps a lot, you know. You just cancel all the bad memories and all the pains and injuries, etc. And you still remember only the good things. And that helps a lot. It gives good energy. And, it's still a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. And I could talk about volleyball hours and hours, but I know you have a tight schedule. And I wanted to thank you again and again, because for me, it's so fantastic to talk about volleyball, to have the privilege to meet you. I'm a big admirer of Dutch volleyball. I have the great opportunity to talk with another guy's teammates and trainers and a female player, Henriette Wirsing. And for me, it's a privilege. And I wanted to thank you again. And finally, in this interview, for your time, for your kindness, for your happiness, for talking to me about your volleyball career, your fantastic histories and stories. And I want to thank you again and again, and wish you luck in all your projects, in your sports projects. I think it's amazing what you're doing. In Chile, we have maybe the same kind of population as in Holland, as in Netherlands, but we never have achieved the goals that you achieved in sport. I think it's amazing what you're doing, not only in volleyball and football and gymnastic and tennis. I don't know. You have a sport mentality that it's worthy of admiration. It's amazing. So I wanted to thank you, Peter, again and again, and send you my best wishes for you, your family, and for your sport and the Netherlands. So that was for me a great conversation, and many thanks again for your time, for your kindness to speak with me.
Thank you, Alfredo, and it was a privilege for me also to talk to you, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about the history, which is already 20 30 35 years ago. So and of course to all the viewers, thanks for watching, and good luck. And I will follow also all your other interviews with all these old stars and new stars that you are gonna interview. So good luck to you too.